Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the exclusive radio home of the Chicago Bulls. Sports Radio 670 The Score. And on the Odyssey app.
Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win.
Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score!
We're back with more of The Score's Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody, live from the Broken Barrel, 2548 North Southport in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
And we will be out and about next week doing the exact same thing, talking about Miller Lite and the Top Draft Party. You're gonna be out next week as well, right?
Looks like it. Yeah. I was looking at the schedule. It says we're together. So, yep.
Mark's like, he's like, I just show up where they tell me to show up. That's where I'm gonna be.
I'm like,
right,
call
now.
Me. Like, can you text me just like a day before?
Give me a little bit of advance.
Well, no, I don't need like the full month. Okay. You know, I am more like, just let me know a couple days before. I could probably be there. Well, make time.
The good thing is this: we not only do we come to the north side, we also travel to the south side. I'm sure we're gonna be in the burbs. Next week we're gonna be at Kenny's Irish Pub, 917 West 55th Street. So right over there by Halsted and 55th. And Countryside from 6 to 9. So different time frame next week. So that'll be
I can handle it. Yeah. No, these are fun, man. I love doing these things because it get a little, like we did in the last segment, a little audience participation and just the ambiance, man.
It feels
I mean,
good.
we try to simulate this sort of stuff on the radio anyway, just a bunch of dudes and guys and girls sitting at the bar talking sports.
The best part is though, when you're in the studio, you don't have any eyes on you. Right now
that's true. Now we just have a lot of skeptical peripheral vision on us. Like not direct eye contact, which is kind of like the, and it's like, I'm watching you. I see what you guys are doing up there.
Are they live right now? we're not doing a podcast. This is actually live on the radio.
Right. This is we cannot direct you to the facilities right now. Like, I'd be happy to during the break, though.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. It is Miller time right now until 10 o'clock as we are here at the Top Draft Show at 670 The Score at Broken Barrel. So let's talk a little bit about the Bulls. I mean, obviously, the NBA season kicks off tonight. Boston up 118-103 on Philadelphia right now.
Away.
Handling business. And then, obviously, up next, Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. Bulls kick off the season Wednesday against the Miami Heat. Home opener Saturday, the 22nd, versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, with this Bulls team, Mark, it's so odd, right? Because last year you felt good going into the season. You knew you had Lonzo Ball. You knew DeMar DeRozan was going to be a great addition. You had Zach and Vooch there already. And you felt you had high hopes for the team. But then you kind of saw them tap out almost, like at their max. That's what it felt like last year. You saw the best of how good the Bulls can be. And you didn't know if there was necessarily another level they could reach. And here we are heading into the season. And I still have that same feeling about the Chicago Bulls. Do you feel that same way as well?
Yeah, I don't feel much. Like, there hasn't been enough that has happened to the Bulls in the offseason in terms of adding on to have any other sort of thought process when it comes to that. I mean, last season, to sum it up, to me, the season became too difficult for DeMar DeRozan to continue to carry on his back.
True.
He couldn't do it by himself anymore. When I say that, I don't mean just the absence of Lonzo Ball. I also mean a compromised Zach LaVine, who didn't play. Like, Zach LaVine was a heavy contributor to the Bulls last year, but we all know he wasn't the same Zach LaVine. And by the way, we were talking about this before the break, he is questionable for the game tomorrow because of the knee, and it's just a maintenance thing in terms of the arthroscopic procedure.
But what does that mean? Tell me, because that's blowing my mind right now. That's blowing my mind.
Okay.
We haven't played a game. You're talking about maintenance at game one of the season.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see
and
this coming, dude.
And it's about the same knee issue. It's like, I thought that was handled already. I thought you were going to be this
exactly.
nice, healthy 20-something-year-old
It's like the footwork
guy.
With Justin Fields. I thought that was handled.
I thought that was handled.
Right.
Because we know it's going to be an issue throughout the entire season.
You're absolutely right. That I think that most Bulls fans, and I as an observer and talk show host, can respect that Zach LaVine probably along the line in the name of his knee was going to get some days off even this year.
Right.
But not the first one. Not questionable heading into the season. After all of that, after what he went through all year, gets the big bundle of cash, then has the procedure. Okay, Zach LaVine is back. And that's what it was early in camp. And now here we are. He's questionable because of the arthroscopic procedure that he had on his knee.
Because Mark Grody, that's something that I would do. Get a big raise and then be like, man, my knee hurts. I can't show up to work today.
Yeah,
you're, well, not Zach LaVine.
Not when you're 27, 28. That's
and
more reserved for 32.
Fair. And I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm there.
Yeah, okay.
But you know Zach wants to be out there too. That's the worst part about the situation. That you know Zach wants to be healthy. He wants to contribute to this squad. He wants to try to prove his worth, especially after getting that contract. And I'm sure he's saying to himself, are you serious? Is this what I have to deal with coming into the season?
Yeah.
Is not playing because of the same knee issue?
Yeah, because guess what? As much as we talk about Lonzo Ball and, you know, is Vucevic going to hit his three-pointers this year? And is Kobe White actually, you know, the sixth man coming off the bench? Like, all of that stuff that we're talking about. And, yeah, I guess I should do a What's Your Gut segment at some point.
Please,
with some of these,
by all means,
with,
ask me some questions
some
about
these Bulls players. But to me, and there hasn't been much Zach LaVine talk because I think everybody was just happy he's back. That's so important because of my original thesis which was that DeMar DeRozan couldn't carry this season as great as he was. He couldn't do it without having Zach LaVine be Zach LaVine.
True.
So it's so important that because they didn't make real additions, that we could look at this Bulls team and say, well, you do have Zach LaVine back. Let's see those two guys work together for 72 games this season at least.
Yeah, and so let me ask this, because let's just go to the worst-case scenario. Let's say Zach is out for a lengthy period of time. Do the Bulls have a chance to make the playoffs if that's the case?
No.
With DeMar being a dominant force, or maybe the ball being spread out a little bit more.
They've been found out. You know what I mean? Like, teams figured out how to stop the Bulls.
Double DeMar.
When you have DeMar. Yes! They finally started doubling him, and they
can't get into let's take the Charlotte Hornets from last year, 43-39. They can't be in that range to maybe.
I mean, it's possible, but it just seems like what an exhausting year it would be. Like when you say misses,
I'm exhausted already.
I know. And did I see too that Caruso? You've already got Zach LaVine being questionable. Also, Alex. Okay. A little bit. Caruso listed as probable with a left calf contusion. I kind of don't want to hear about his injuries either.
No.
You know? Like,
I mean,
enough.
The Bulls have a lot of guys that play hard, go to the cup aggressively with Alex Caruso, Javonte Green, Zach LaVine, guys that play with a ton of force. So it's almost as if it's inevitable that they're bound to get injured at some point throughout the season.
Is that it?
In the NBA. But damn, not leading up to the season.
Hey.
And I think that's another issue, Groats, is that we as fans, right, as casual fans, we assume we're playing like a video game. Like, these guys are just going to be playing at full strength, at full health. You know, like, oh, well, what's the problem? But the reality is, I mean, even in preseason and in training camp, you're going to run into some issues where, you know, guys are going to get banged up because you're playing a physical game. And with this particular squad, they need to be firing on all cylinders if they want to compete, especially in this East. I mean, the East got better. Teams, I mean, and not only did they get better, but there's some teams that got their full squads back. If you're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving playing the entire season, Cleveland getting, like I mentioned earlier, Donovan Mitchell, Atlanta getting DeJounte Murray. I mean, there are teams that were below the Bulls in the standings last year that most would assume are going to have a bounce back season and kind of catapult over the
Bulls. There's not a lot of bottom feeder in the. No. There's not a lot of like, okay, you can look at the schedule and say during this run we're going to beat that. There's not a lot of. There's not enough awful in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is that is a troublesome area. So it's hard to sit here now and make the case. I mean, you could start with Lonzo Ball. I mean, we've barely even made him part of this discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, Lonzo Ball is out, and it's
because I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry right now.
Hey, man, and maybe, you know, I think Ayo Dosunmu just kind of ran out of gas last year, because remember when he started playing point guard last year and he had that nice two-man game going with Nikola Vucevic for a while. And he was playing plus point guard, and then started to fade away towards the end. It was not as effective and barely got playing time in the postseason.
And you hear a lot about that when it comes to rookies, right? They're playing 30, 40 games during their college season, and then they have to double that up in the NBA. So, yeah, you hear about that wall that happens often. But Ayo did do a phenomenal job. He understood the assignment. He said, hey, I need to step in, play defense. That's where it's going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to distribute the ball to my scorers, which Lonzo Ball laid out that blueprint. But then he learned and picked up and saw how valuable that mid-range game was playing alongside DeMar DeRozan, had his confidence built in some of those incidents. So we liked it. He attacked the rim aggressively. He was knocking down that three-point shot consistently. And then all of a sudden, like you mentioned, it seemed as though he hit some sort of a wall there. But when you're looking at this Bulls team, Gross, what they did well last year was defend the home court. They had the third best home record in the Eastern Conference last year. And you covered the Bulls during, you know, the 90s, and you saw how important it was.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to cover the Bulls during the 90s. Oh, 90s? But I started covering the Bulls. I did cover the Bulls, like, during the Luol Deng.
Okay.
God, why is his name?
Gordon, Derrick Rose.
No, not the players. That coach.
Oh, Tim Floyd.
No, not Tim Floyd.
Tom Thibodeau.
The bald white guy. Scott Skiles.
Oh.
Scott Skiles.
The bald white guy.
Yeah. Angry little fella.
Fair enough.
No, so that's unfortunately. No, that was a fun team to actually cover, but
I was trying to speak towards the importance of winning at home and the atmosphere there and the Bulls handling business, you know, in order to be competitive in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting when you think about. I mean, like right from the start, like we were talking about going up against Miami, but I think relative to the rest of this conference, they seemed like. There was like a special going on in the first half of last season that, the Bulls are legit. They can be top five. And now they're going to be fighting they're jockeying for position. It's almost like there was like a little window open for the Bulls last season that may have deteriorated over a Lonzo Ball injury. And I don't know that we'll ever going to know at this point, but I think that window has closed in terms of being a top five, top six team in the Eastern Conference.
I would agree with you, because there was also the element of surprise.
True.
The Bulls team was coming in and you weren't necessarily sure. Everyone was down on DeMar DeRozan. You didn't know if Lonzo Ball was how he was going to fit into the team. People already had their opinions on Vooch. And then the Bulls came in and night out and surprised teams, blowing them out in the first quarter, continuing to score buckets where they couldn't before, right? The Bulls' offense struggled at the start of the first quarter in years past. And then, obviously, last year, they just had a different tune, a different flow to the squad. And that's what. So I feel like in that first half, to your point, Grody, being that the window's closed, teams are always going to look at the Bulls now as someone that can surprise you on a given night. So
that's
they're not going to take the gas off, put out the gas early.
And back to DeRozan again. He played like, to contribute to the first half of the season last year. He played out of his mind. He was playing at a level where he was legitimately, for a while, he certainly fell out of the race. He was legitimately a candidate for most valuable player in the NBA.
Oh, without question.
Oh, without question.
After a couple of those three-point makes at the end, seal the victory, one-legged three-pointers and stuff.
Unbelievable. Like, it's probably not realistic to think that DeMar DeRozan is going to have anything close to that type of season again.
No way. And he had a chip on his shoulder. There was just so many things that were going on there. But the Bulls, nonetheless, still have to come out and play those 82 games. Yeah. So we are going to get an opportunity.
Well, hey, man, development, right? I mean, could Patrick Williams go to the next level? Could Ayo Dosunmu go to the next level? So those are scary things to have to depend on.
Yeah.
But those are things that we can look at and say, hey, maybe there are things that the Bulls think will happen that we're not seeing yet.
And those are the questions that we are going to be asking our next guest. Ricky O'Donnell will hang with us right here on 670 The Score on the other side. And we will ask him, how big of a leap can Ayo Dosunmu and Patrick Williams make in order to contribute to this Bulls team in the upcoming season? We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody at the Miller Lite Top Draft Show here at Broken Barrel, 2548 North Southport.
Bears.
And we'll talk to Ricky O'Donnell on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of The Score's Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody, live from the Broken Barrel, 2548 North Southport in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
I just mind my business. You don't know this song, Grody, but
I like it.
I got you. I'm here for it.
Don't just assume, by the way. Don't just assume.
Who's the singer? Who's the
I don't know, but I don't appreciate that you just assume.
Well, but I was right, though.
No, you were right.
Oh, Roddy Ricch.
But I don't know why you typecast me.
It's Roddy Ricch right there. I'm going to send you a Spotify playlist.
Okay.
So you can, while you're driving up to Hallis,
open to all music.
I know. Yeah. I know you're, who's your favorite artist?
Well, I'm a Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did get stuck in the grunge era for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, all
so you were like flannel shirts wrapped around your waist and stuff like that?
It was a horrible stuff for men and women.
Did you have long hair too?
No, not really. Okay. No, I mean, like, it was a little bushier,
okay,
I guess you could say. All right, but, you know. Yeah, no, it was a very sloppy era of life.
That's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. No sloppiness here. We're as clean can be at the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We're watching Golden State get their rings right now as they're about to take on the Los Angeles Lakers here. The NBA kicks off today. The Bulls kick off their season Wednesday against the Miami Heat. And here to talk to us a little bit about this upcoming season, joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the writer, editor, associate director of programming for SB Nation. Of course, we're talking about none other than Ricky O'Donnell. Ricky, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
We're wondering how long it's going to be before the Bulls are taking part in a ring night. And I'm not talking about as the opponent.
Well, it's probably not going to be anytime soon, but that's okay. Only one team can win the championship every year, and I think, you know, the Bulls are just building their way up to be a respectable organization in the wake of all the damage that the Garpax administration did for this franchise. So some baby steps for the Bulls since then. And I think this year, you know, for them, a huge success would be winning a playoff series if they could possibly do that.
We were just talking about Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. And unfortunately, Rick, I'm sure, Ricky, you've heard this, but, you know, Zach is questionable for the game, just going back to the knee and the cleanup procedure that he had on it. And our contention is essential, and I want to know if you agree. This is no way to start a Bulls season after all the injury stuff and all the LaVine stuff from last year and Lonzo Ball and DeRozan having to do everything last season. What is this? Are we going to have to be dealing with this again all year?
For sure. That's why it's a huge bummer, because as the Bulls fell apart last year, obviously Lonzo Ball's injury got a lot of the attention. But don't forget that Zach LaVine was playing hurt for the entire second half of the season and into the playoffs. While his numbers were still okay as he was toughing it out and playing with that bulky left knee, he just wasn't as effective as a player. He was wincing several times a game whenever he'd drive to the basket. He just didn't have the same explosion. So I think, you know, for the Bulls to sort of get back to where they were last year at their best, the first part of the puzzle is that Zach LaVine needs to be one of the best guards in the Eastern Conference. And that's what he was at the start of last year. And, you know, through the first 60 or 70% of the way through the season, there was serious debate on if he should start the All-Star game. He ended up being sort of a consensus no-brainer selection coming off the bench. But after signing this big contract, the Bulls need LaVine to, you know, play at the best level he's played to this point in his career. I guess the one thing I'll say is that when they really need LaVine is at the end of the season, not the beginning of the season. So I do wonder if this left knee is going to continue to be an issue, if the Bulls will do some maintenance on him, some load management. But for sure, when I saw that news come across, I was pretty bummed out, because a healthy Zach LaVine is going to be a big part to this Bulls season if they're going to reach their goals.
Bummed out is an understatement, Ricky. I think I shed a tear. I think I literally, as I was here, and it was not the Miller Lite talking, it was an actual tear.
I had to break it
coming
him.
Down my face, yeah. As Grody was telling me about
witness.
It. But let's talk about some other players on this squad, because in the event that Zach LaVine can't play to his full potential, there's going to be some guys that need to step up, specifically some of the younger guys. And I know a lot of people are talking about Pat Will. Are we doing the Chicago thing to Pat Will, where our expectations are just higher than what realistically he can bring to the table?
Yeah, it's tough, because his rookie year, Patrick Williams was the youngest player in the NBA. His second year basically ended after the fifth game, when Mitchell Robinson took him out midair. He broke his wrist. So now he's starting his third year. You still really don't know what you have in him as a former number four overall pick. And I think it's going to be on Billy Donovan to try to find ways to cook up successful situations for Patrick Williams. I think for the majority of the time, Patrick Williams has been considered, you know, a good prospect was because of what he could do with the ball in his hands. Well, when you're playing alongside DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, you're just not going to get the ball that much. What the Bulls really need in that spot is someone who can impact the game without holding the ball. And I think that's why you saw Donovan go to Javonte Green in the preseason. I'm very surprised Javonte Green is not the opening night starter at power forward. I think he fits better with the starters than Patrick Williams does. And I think Pat is more set up for success coming off the bench when he doesn't have to just be sort of relegated to a spot-up shooting role to space the floor for DeMar DeRozan's mid-range attacks. Instead, Pat can operate with the ball a little bit more in his hands. You saw what he was doing in the final preseason game, playing as a nominal center, a small ball big man, had a few nice dunks around the rim, playing in the roll spot in the pick and roll. So I think Patrick Williams has a lot of hypothetical skills. He doesn't have one area where he's like actually really good at so far. And I think it's on Billy Donovan to try to, you know, put him in the best position to succeed, because just having him be a spot-up shooter around Vucevic and DeRozan, I just don't think that's the best use of his skill set. And Bulls certainly got to get more out of him than they have the first 2 years of his career.
Yeah, and the concept of saying, well, your offense and what you do for this team is predicated on you being able to clean up the mess of Zach or Vooch or DeMar DeRozan and for that instance. And that's the thing. So I love what you said about putting but off the bench, because I feel the same way too. You've seen that second team kind of struggle a little bit with offensive production, and you've seen DeMar and Zach being responsible for a lot of that. But if Pat Will's there, then it takes a little bit of pressure off of him.
Yeah, I would like to see the second units led by LaVine and Patrick Williams, sort of in more of an on-ball role. Last year, DeMar DeRozan, 36.5 minutes per game. That was number 10 in the NBA. I think Bulls got to play him less this season. Get that down to 32, 33 minutes a game, something a little bit more manageable for, I think, a 33-year-old or 34-year-old like DeRozan is this year. So hopefully Patrick Williams can take a step up and they can, you know, cut back on DeRozan's the reliance they have on DeRozan and all the minutes he plays a little bit.
I hate to make this whole thing to be all about Patrick Williams, but I want to ask one more thing, and that is, should we, and do you think the Bulls have reduced their expectations for Patrick Williams? Because at one point in time, Ricky, there were people throwing around the comp Kawhi Leonard.
The claw.
For him. That was, yeah. Stacey King, great, talked about this guy's going to be a star someday. What's the ceiling for Patrick Williams?
Yeah, I still don't know what it is. Really, he's 21 years old. So while it is frustrating that the start of his third season, like you still don't know how good he is, I think like it just takes time in the NBA. You got to be patient. Like I said, he was the youngest player in the league as a rookie. Hypothetically, he could be like a second contract guy, someone who hits his stride, after the first 4 years of his career. I think for Pat, his like prospecthood is someone who followed him from when he was a high school player into Florida State. He was never considered a top five overall talent in the draft. He sort of rose up in the pre-draft process after the season ended because you look at the tape and it's like, all right, hypothetically, this guy can do a lot. He has a pretty good mid-range jump shot. For his size, he's a good live dribble passer. You'll see him, you know, play both sides of the pick and roll in terms of initiating it or finishing it. And defensively, he's got pretty high upside. So he can sort of like kind of do all these different skills. He's doing what the Bulls need to do is find like one thing Patrick Williams is actually good at. And I kind of see him as a small five this year where he can attack four-footed centers off the bounce. I think if you get him and Javonte Green as your front court, first of all, every NBA team in this era needs a good small ball look. And I think that those two guys would have the type of versatility to actually pull that off. They just need to get more creative with Pat because I think they've been pretty uninspiring in terms of how the coaching staff has used him, mostly trying to play him like Mikal Bridges, someone who spots up the three-point line and takes shots at the end of the possession when DeRozan or LaVine can't create anything. I will say, for all the skills Pat has showed, I think the weakest part of his game is his spot-up shooting, and that's been the area where they really needed him just in terms of the team fit. So I want to see him get more creative with Pat this year, and it starts with him being more than just a spot-up shooter.
Got to knock down that three a little bit more consistently if you're getting it on the wing right there. We're talking to Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez along with Mark Grody. We're here at the Miller Lite Top Draft Show, broadcasting live from Broken Barrel, 2548 North Southport. We're here till 10 o'clock. Ricky, let's talk about some of the role players on this Chicago Bulls team. I think a guy like Andre Drummond, Goran Dragic, two pickups that might not have been the sexiest in terms of the eyes of the casual NBA fan, but when you're looking at this squad in particular, you really realize that they're filling some big holes. Andre Drummond, obviously the offensive and rebounding portion, being a rim protector, a backup center for your Chicago Bulls team, and then Goran Dragic, which is who I want to ask you a question about. What role do you see him playing on this team? Because some would say, oh, well, is he going to be averaging, 12 points a game for this squad? Or are the Bulls going to be depending on him to be more of a facilitator in the absence of Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, I guess first on Drummond, the best thing you could say about Andre Drummond is that he'll be way better than Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson came in and the team's vibes immediately fell off a cliff. I think he like ruined the entire chemistry of the team. Get him as far away from Chicago as possible. Andre Drummond should be,
don't they watch Pop Culture and know that Tristan Thompson should not be there? That Tristan Thompson is like a cancer right now? Like, nobody wants the Kardashians next to the Bulls. You're absolutely right, Ricky. You found the vibe of the whole team as soon as he got there.
So Drummond, addition by subtraction, if nothing else. And Drummond should be one of the better backup centers. In terms of Dragic, I thought Dragic was a pretty uninspiring signing by the Bulls. 36 years old, I just don't think he has enough juice as a scorer anymore, as he did, just a few years ago when he helped lead Miami to the NBA Finals inside the bubble. But you mentioned Dragic's role potentially being as a playmaker, and I do think that he showed quite a bit of potential there. in the preseason. Now, I think Dragic is at his best was always a scorer, but also, I mean, this dude is just way more experienced in terms of running a pick and roll than someone like Kobe White is, someone like Ayo Dosunmu is. And when you look at the Bulls' finishers, they're all kind of like oddball role men in that role. Derek Jones, Javante Green, those guys are like way smaller than your typical role men in the NBA, but obviously they both have like nuclear level athleticism. They're both A-plus run and jump athletes. And for those guys to be successful in a half-court offense, you got to have someone who can find them on the roll, find them on lob. And I think that's maybe where Dragic could have an impact. Like I said, I was not super high on that signing when they made it, but I think after watching them in the preseason, there is going to be some value just to having a dude who knows how to set the table and who's still going to threaten the defense a bit with his jump shot. So maybe Dragic will be a better signing than I thought he would be. I think there's no way he's going to be able to replace Lonzo Ball because defensively, Lonzo is awesome, and Goran Dragic is probably going to be an eyesore. But offensively, I do think he can help some of the, like, some of the role players sort of find their offensive footing a little bit easier.
Let's get micro here, Ricky. Bulls at Miami tomorrow. How do you see this game going down? How do you see the opener happening at Miami?
Probably going to be a tough game for the Bulls, but, you know, the opener is always weird for everyone. You look at this Heat team, and while the rest of the Eastern Conference really reloaded, Miami's one of the few teams that did not make a major addition, and they lost P.J. Tucker, a starter for them, you know, deep in the playoffs. So Miami's a very good team. They're a great organization, obviously. They develop talent at the end of the bench, probably better than any other team in the league. It'll be interesting to see, you know, which guys they're calling on this year to be their next stars. An undrafted free agent named Jamal Kane, who's been getting a lot of publicity in the preseason. So I think the Heat are probably going to win just because they're at home and just because, you know, it's a team that is going to be, they came one shot away from the NBA Finals last year on Jimmy Butler's pull-up at the buzzer in Game 7 against the Celtics. It's a tough opening contest for the Bulls, but then I think they got the Wizards on Friday, the Cavs on Saturday. So hopefully they can get off to a decent start until Lonzo comes back to the lineup, and that's when ideally they'll really make their push up the Eastern Conference standings.
It's going to be a tough run for the Chicago Bulls. Definitely Eastern Conference getting better. Still trying to figure out who the Chicago Bulls are, especially without Lonzo Ball. Ricky, before I let you go, 10 teams make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Where do you see the Chicago Bulls finishing, if inside that top 10 at all?
Yeah, I think the Bulls can make the playoffs, like the real playoffs, not just the play-in. Certainly the Eastern Conference is pretty loaded, but I think, like, outside of the top four in the East, which would be the Bucks, the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Heat, that next, like, grouping of teams, I think the Bulls can match up with any of those squads. You got the Hawks, you got the Cavs. They made, like, sexier offseason additions than the Bulls did. But they're going to have new pieces to integrate. There's still a lot of unknowns about those teams. People love the Raptors, but the Raptors are such a strange team. They really have no on-ball creation. They just try to cause havoc defensively, force turnovers that feeds their offense. So to me, like, the Bulls are definitely in the mix with the second tier in the East. I think best case scenario for the Bulls in the regular season would probably be the 5 seed. Most people seem to be like fading the Bulls' chances heading into this season, thinking that, you know, they'll be a play-in team, that they may not make the actual playoffs. I think they can make the playoffs. They're probably going to be like a 7 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think it's going to be tough for them to win a series. But, you know, it's going to come down to DeRozan and Zach LaVine being one of the best duos in the NBA, Patrick Williams and Ayo Dosunmu showing some internal improvement, Billy Donovan, pushing all the right buttons again to try to put his players in the best place to succeed. So it's going to be tough for the Bulls, but it's a better team than I think people are giving them credit for right now, just because they kind of had a bummer of an offseason.
Well, we get an opportunity to check out that team tomorrow as the Bulls kick off the season versus the Miami Heat, 6:30 p.m. You can listen to that game right here on 670 The Score. Ricky, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Thanks for having me.
Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation joining us here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez, along with Mark Grody. I don't know. Ricky O'Donnell saying that. I love the optimism. Bulls are going to be a better team than they're giving them credit for. Okay, continuity, still got some stars. Vooch can be better. I just think there's things that you're asking for this from this team that you need. I feel like I'm just burnt out as a Chicago sports fan, where I'm tired of having to ask the team to do something in order to be great instead of them actually just being great.
They didn't add any serious substance in this offseason. There's no other way to think but that, hey, I mean, it's hard to make a case for the Bulls are going to be better this year. Huh. Even if you believe that Zach LaVine will eventually be healthy and play the majority of the games and be Zach LaVine again, there's no way to expect DeMar DeRozan. Does anybody out there think DeMar DeRozan's going to be an MVP candidate three quarters of the way through this season?
Absolutely.
Anybody? I bet people, the entire NBA.
Odds for him to win the MVP are probably like
infinite. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hate to say this, but that was what you call a flash in the pan MVP candidacy.
And it sucks to say that.
Because he was so terrific.
So good.
But he couldn't carry the team on his back, as it turned out. And why would anybody expect him to? Maybe the Bulls are still. I don't know.
I guess if I take a beat and I say to myself, how are the Bulls better than they were last year? You could point to one thing that no one has mentioned so far on the show, and it's Nikola Vucevic being better. Don't chuckle at that. It's a possibility. Listen, if he's in the post more, if he hits the three-pointer more consistently, you know, then he could be that dude. Again, just talking about a little bit better than he was last year. Going back to the Vooch of the old. And I'm not talking about Orlando Magic old. I'm talking about, you know, when he got to the Bulls. Still putting up 20-some points, grabbing. He's still going to be your best rebounder. So, again, it's things you got to be looking at, because you got to find a way for them to be better.
There's that. There is that. I mean, I scoff at that, because I feel like since Vooch got here, we've been talking about him and what he needs to do to
get better. Right.
Like, we've never really seen the Vucevic from Orlando. So that's always been the conversation. That's the only reason I kind of wrote that off a little bit. But here, the other thing, too, I guess, and this is like goes back to our Bears conversation, there is the possibility that Patrick Williams bursts on the scene this year and that he's a good player for. I mean, that is not out of the question.
But that's about as likely as Vooch hitting 52% from the three-point line.
Fair enough.
So yeah, our producer Tyler just told us Zach LaVine for MVP, 130-1.
There you go.
DeMar DeRozan, 100-1.
Oh wow!
So get your money out, pull out your apps.
Yeah,
make sure you place those bets.
They'll see what kind of fan you are of DeMar DeRozan.
We're going to see what kind of fan you are of 670 The Score. That's if you stick around. That's exactly what we want you to do. We're broadcasting live from Broken Barrel here at 2548 North Southport in Lincoln Park, and on the other side, we're going to do a little Twitter time. You okay with that?
That sounds great to me, man.
You like Twitter time.
I love Twitter time.
So I'm going to go around the Twitter world, talk about some pop culture stories, some sports stories as well, and, you know, do a little roundtable discussion. We'll do that on the other side. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Supply.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Brody, here on 670 The Score. And we are broadcasting live. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show here at Broken Barrel. We're only going to be on the air till 10 o'clock, but I promise you we're going to be drinking some Miller Lite way later than that.
You've been really good at holding off so far.
I got to be honest, man. Shot in the beer is my jam.
Okay. You going?
I'm a Miller Lite and a shot of some rum. Some dark rum. Give me some Bacardi Ocho. Or something like that.
You got a crew, man.
I got my guys here.
I like it.
This is what happens. When you go to the city, I'm going to have some people come out. My friends are degenerates. But put me in countryside like next week, ain't nobody going to.
They're not that loyal.
Your friends going to show up to countryside?
No, I don't think so.
All right. But we are inside the Twitter time. This is how we're going to end the show. Basically, talking about some tweets in the Twitterverse that you didn't get a chance to see. A little bit of pop culture. Little bit of sports related. Let's go ahead and get into this first one, Tyler. Let's do it, man.
Chirp, chirp.
All right, first up, Zach Wheeler. This is from Fox Sports, MLB on Fox. absolute dominance today from Zach Wheeler. 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Grody, did you think the Phillies would be in this position as they were firing their manager 1/4 of the way into the season?
Nope. And for some reason, I had sympathy in that case. I sided with Joe Girardi, which is really never a good thing because he doesn't always have those amicable breakups with teams. He tends to not. So I guess I sort of fell for Girardi's side of things. But no, I did not expect to see it. And the Phillies just officially shut out San Diego 2-0. Man, your crew. What did he just bring
only,
in?
Only my crew would walk in with a bottle of fifth.
Pito. That's Pito.
It's that he works for Bacardi. Or he works for Bacardi.
Oh, wow.
So he's putting it out there.
He brought in like a 200 bottle of Bacardi here just for you, man. I'm going to run from your table after this.
You don't want no part of my
guys. I'm going running to my car.
You know, there was before we go to the next seat, there was another team in Major League Baseball that could have benefited from getting rid of their manager in the middle of the season, too.
And that would Chicago be the
Sox. All right, next up, let's go.
Yeah. Chirp, chirp.
This one from the Hollywood Reporter says that Harrison Ford is officially joining the MCU, the Marvel Universe. He is taking over for the late William Hurt in Captain America. Isn't Harrison Ford a little too old to be acting like? Don't you feel like he should retire?
You know, I'm the biggest supporter of Harrison Ford.
Are you really?
Ever was.
Because he's a Chicagoan, or why?
Well, no, because of The Fugitive, and I like to do my impersonation.
Wait.
You've never heard my
I've never
Harrison.
Heard you,
oh,
Harrison Ford. Tyler, drop the music for a second.
Yeah.
Hold on, go ahead.
You switch the sample so I can make Provasic. Unlock me.
That's actually really good.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect
thing.
From there, but okay, I'll ask for that one.
You find this man
a little more often. Next thing you know, I'm gonna see you jumping out of a tunnel.
Yeah, I don't want to scare everybody, so I'm gonna stop with the hair. But hey,
I like it.
Harrison Ford. You really never heard me do?
I've never. This is my first time hearing you.
Oh my god! This is great.
That's why you got a real time.
You're a new audience.
Reaction.
This is what keeps the impersonation alive.
I know. Noah. I thought I knew you like the back of my hand, Mark. Right?
I know. I'll see you next Tuesday. I'm just going to hammer you with Harrison Ford impersonations like the whole show. You switch the beer. You switch the wine.
He's Mark Grody. Yeah. I'm Gabe Ramirez. We're here right on 670 The Score. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We are inside of Twitter time. Next up, hit me with that, Tyler. Go ahead.
Chirp.
I want to know how you feel, my Cub fan, after seeing Kyle Schwarber hit a 488-foot bomb, 120-mile-per-hour exit speed. How does it feel to see Kyle Schwarber from the left side of the plate just contributing to the Philly success?
I got to tell you, he goes down in a category that maybe he shouldn't, or a lot of fans probably wouldn't. But for me, I'm happy for the guy. I'm really happy for him. And, like, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Schwarber. And also, when they didn't pick up the option for Schwarber, I actually at the time didn't have a problem with it, and honestly still don't, because something needed to change from that core. But I root for Kyle Schwarber, and I feel like we're still on the ground floor of Kyle Schwarber, and that you still will have, if you are a Cubs fan, you will have still always gotten the best out of Kyle Schwarber with some of the dramatics that he pulled off in his rookie season, and then finally in the World Series.
Coming through at the end of the season the way he did.
It was heroic.
It's legendary.
He was a caricature. Like, there is something that is, you can't not like Kyle Schwarber, so I'm happy for him.
Tyler Butterball, our producer right now, he has a tattoo of Kyle Schwarber hitting a home run in the Cubs Janazis. All right, next up, Tyler, next up.
Does he really?
No, he doesn't. This one from Robert K. Schmitz. It says, as much as I want a new wide receiver on the Bears, they should be sellers at the deadline, not buyers. Got to set sights on 2024. Their menu, of these five, who would you trade away? Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, David Montgomery, or Khalil Herbert?
How about none of the above? I mean, like, what value are you getting for these guys? All these guys with expiring contracts, essentially, like the biggest names that you mentioned in there. Like, I don't know why we always do this to ourselves ahead of NFL trade deadlines. I mean, there's going to be a couple of deals that go down around the NFL,
not
like Von Miller, but there never is, and there's never like a big splashy Bears thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't have my sights set on the trade deadline like other people do.
Well, a team that just made a trade, the Arizona Cardinals, they got Robbie Anderson from the Carolina Panthers. You look at that, and Bears fans should really look at that move and say to themselves, okay, it's not just that Justin Fields sucks, if that's what you think, if that's what your narrative is. Because you saw Kyler Murray struggling. No receivers to get open, a mediocre at best offensive line, and you saw him get sacked a ton. You saw him get beat up a ton when they were playing the Eagles the other day. So, again, something you got to look towards. It's a lot bigger than just the quarterback position. All right, next up, got a couple more.
Chirp, chirp.
This one from the LAD Bible. It says, Netflix viewers slam The Watcher for having the worst ever ending. First of all, have you seen The Watcher?
I've not seen The Watcher.
I've not seen The Watcher.
No, not yet.
But the reason why I even thought that was interesting is because I can't, I probably can name five, or not name five movies, but there are probably only five movies with endings that I actually like.
You're truly satisfied.
Majority of the time, 90% of the time, I watch a movie and I'm like, what? That was
it? Yeah.
I just watched one that said, it was called like Last Standing on Hulu. My wife and I, we watched the whole movie. It got to the very end, and we both looked at each other and said, what?
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Make it up in your head as you go. Like, you kind of give, like, your brain options. Okay, it could go this way. It could go that way. But then when it goes their own artsy way, then you're like, oh, that's not
good. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I love the meme that came out with it where it's like a horse being drawn, and then it's a really nice horse in the beginning, and then it turns into like a stick figure, and they're like, this was Game of Thrones.
They stripped it clean, by the end. A little decrescendo.
That was your Twitter time, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate Tyler holding down the musical abilities over there. Appreciate you guys. It's time to get out of here. That happened fast. That's three hours was fast.
Wow.
That was
3 hours. We're out. I got my... my broken girl bag to go.
I got a double
smash burger in here. Shane's not here right now. He's the smash burger king.
Okay.
But I'm gonna get this bag and get in my car, go home, put on some Netflix. What was that show?
Watcher.
The Watcher.
Maybe I'll go home and watch
The Watcher.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't forget, next week we are out and about as well for another Miller Lite Top Draft show. Make sure you guys hang in with us. We're at Irish Oak in Countryside. 55th and Halsted. Make sure you guys hang out with us there. Meantime, let's go ahead and thank our guests, Ricky O'Donnell, Herb Howard, of course, Chris Emma, stopping by Broken Barrel to hang out with us. Want to thank our promo team for holding it down. I know it's been a while. We got some new faces out here. Want to thank Rich Wyatt, our engineer, for making it sound better than we actually do. Big thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh for holding us down as well. We look forward to working with you again. And guys, coming up next, BetMGM is going to be holding you guys down. So for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on 670 The Score, I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Mark Grody. Don't forget, it's Miller time. I've been wanting to say that. It's Miller time. I was practicing that, but I didn't get a chance to.
Shout it out, man.
Because I feel like I hear Chuck Swirsky in my head going, it's Miller time.
No, it's the G&G.
G&G. All right, guys. Man. Mi gente, hasta la próxima. We'll see you next time. It's 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to The Score's Miller Lite Top Draft Show, live from the Broken Barrel at 2548 North Southport in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody, here on 670 The Score. And we are broadcasting live. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show here at Broken Barrel. We're only going to be on the air till 10 o'clock, but I promise you we're going to be drinking some Miller Lite way later than that.
You've been really good at holding off so far.
I got to be honest, man. Shot in the beer is my jam.
Okay. Get you going.
I'm a Miller Lite and a shot of some rum. Some dark rum. Give me like some Bacardi Ocho or something like that.
You got a crew, man.
I got my guys here.
I like it.
This is what happens. When you go to the city, I'm going to have some people come out. My friends are degenerates. But put me in Countryside, like next week, Ain't nobody good.
they're not that loyal.
Oh, your friend's going to show up to Countryside
News?
No,
I don't think so. All
right. But we are inside of Twitter time. This is how we're going to end the show. Basically, talking about some tweets in the Twitterverse that you didn't get a chance to see. A little bit of pop culture, a little bit of sports related. Let's go ahead and get into this first one, Tyler. Let's do it, man.
Chirp, chirp.
All right, first up, Zach Wheeler. This is from Fox Sports, MLB on Fox. Absolute dominance today from Zach Wheeler. Seven innings pitched, one hit, one walk, eight strikeouts. Grody, did you think the Phillies would be in this position as they were firing their manager one-fourth of the way into the season?
Nope. And for some reason, I had sympathy in that case. I sided with Joe Girardi, which is really never a good thing because he doesn't always have those amicable breakups with teams. He tends to not. So I guess I sort of fell for Girardi's side of things. But no, I did not expect to see it. And the Phillies just officially shut out San Diego 2-0. Man, your crew. What did he just bring
only,
in?
Only my crew would walk in with a bottle of Fifth.
Pito. That's Pito.
It's that he works for Bacardi Oats. Or he works for Bacardi.
Oh, wow.
So he's putting it out there.
He brought in like a 200 bottle of Bacardi here just for you, man. I'm going to run from your table after this show's over.
No part of my
I'm going running to my car.
You know, there was before we go to the next team, there was another team in Major League Baseball that could have benefited from getting rid of their manager in the middle of the season, too.
And that would Chicago be the Sox.
All right, next up, let's go.
Yeah. Chirp, chirp.
This one from the Hollywood Reporter says that Harrison Ford is officially joining the MCU, the Marvel Universe. He is taking over for the late William Hurt in Captain America. Isn't Harrison Ford a little too old to be acting like? Don't you feel like he should retire?
You know, I'm the biggest supporter of Harrison Ford.
Are you really?
Ever was.
Because he's a Chicagoan, or why?
Well, no, because of The Fugitive, and I like to do my impersonation.
Wait.
You've never heard
I've never
Harrison.
Heard you, Harrison Ford. Tyler, drop the music for a second.
Yeah.
Hold on. Go ahead.
You switch the sample so I can make Provasic. Unlock me.
That's actually really good. I didn't know what to expect from there. But okay, I'll ask for that one.
You find this man.
A little more often. Next thing you know, I'm going to see you jumping out of a tunnel.
Yeah, I don't want to scare everybody, so I'm going to stop with the hair. But, hey.
I like it.
Harrison Ford. Really never heard me do?
I've never. This is my first time hearing it.
Oh, my God. This is great.
That's why you got a real-time,
genuine
reaction.
You're a new audience. This is what keeps the impersonation alive.
I thought I knew you like the back of my hand, Mark.
I know. Here we are. Next Tuesday, I'm just going to hammer you with Harrison Ford impersonations, like the whole show. You switch the beer. You switch the wine.
He's Mark Grody. Yeah. I'm Gabe Ramirez. We're here right on 670 The Score. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We are inside of Twitter time. Next up.
Yeah.
Hit me with that, Tyler. Go ahead.
Chirp, chirp.
I want to know how you feel, my Cub fan, after seeing Kyle Schwarber hit a 488-foot bomb, 120-mile-per-hour exit speed. How does it feel to see Kyle Schwarber from the left side of the plate just contributing to the Philly success?
I got to tell you, he goes down in a category that maybe he shouldn't, or a lot of fans probably wouldn't. But for me, I'm happy for the guy. I'm really happy for him. And, like, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Schwarber. And also, when they didn't pick up the option for Schwarber, I actually at the time didn't have a problem with it, and honestly still don't, because something needed to change from that core. But I root for Kyle Schwarber, and I feel like we're still on the ground floor of Kyle Schwarber, and that you still will have, if you are a Cubs fan, you will have still always gotten the best out of Kyle Schwarber with some of the dramatics that he pulled off in his rookie season, and then finally in the World Series.
Coming through at the end of the season, the way he did.
He was heroic.
It's legendary.
He was a caricature. Like, there is something that is, you can't not like Kyle Schwarber, so I'm happy for him.
Tyler Butterball, our producer right now, he has a tattoo of Kyle Schwarber hitting a home run in the Cubs. All right, next up, Tyler. Next up.
Wait, does he really?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
This one from Robert K. Schmitz. It says, as much as I want a new wide receiver on the Bears, they should be sellers at the deadline, not buyers. Got to set sights on 2024. Their menu, of these five, who would you trade away? Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, David Montgomery, or Khalil Herbert?
How about none of the above? I mean, like, what value are you getting for these guys? All these guys with expiring contracts, essentially, like the biggest names that you mentioned in there. Like, I don't know why we always do this to ourselves ahead of NFL trade deadlines. I mean, there's going to be a couple of deals that go down around the NFL, not like Von Miller, but there never is, and there's never like a big splashy Bears thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't have my sights set on the trade deadline like other people do.
Well, a team that just made a trade, the Arizona Cardinals, they got Robbie Anderson from the Carolina Panthers. You look at that, and Bears fans should really look at that move and say to themselves, okay, it's not just that Justin Fields sucks, if that's what you think, if that's what your narrative is. Because you saw Kyler Murray struggling. No receivers to get open, a mediocre at best offensive line, and you saw him get sacked a ton, you saw him get beat up a ton when they were playing the Eagles the other day. So, again, something you got to look towards. It's a lot bigger than just the quarterback position. All right, next up, got a couple more.
Chirp, chirp.
This one from the LAD Bible. It says, Netflix viewers slam The Watcher for having the worst ever ending. First of all, have you seen The Watcher?
I have not seen The Watcher.
I've not seen The Watcher.
No, not yet.
But the reason why I even thought that was interesting is because I probably can name five, or not name five movies, but there are probably only five movies with endings that I actually like.
You're truly satisfied.
Majority of the time, 90% of the time I watch a movie and I'm like, what? That was
it? Yeah.
Watched one that said, it was called like Last Standing on Hulu. My wife and I, we watched the whole movie and got to the very end and we both looked at each other and said, what?
Yeah.
Those are the worst movies ever.
Well, because you make it up in your head as you go. Like, you kind of give, like, your brain options. Okay, it could go this way. It could go that way. But then when it goes their own artsy way, then you're like, oh, that's not
good. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I love the meme that came out with it where it's like a horse being drawn. And then it's a really nice horse in the beginning. And then it turns into like a stick figure. And they're like, this was Game of Thrones.
They stripped it clean. Yeah. By the end. A little decrescendo.
That was your Twitter time, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate Tyler holding down the musical abilities over there. Appreciate you guys. All right, it's time to get out of here. That happened fast. That's three hours was fast.
Wow.
That was 3 hours.
We're out. I got my my broken girl bag to go.
I got a double
smash burger in here. Shane's not here right now. He's the smash burger king.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'm gonna get this bag and get my car, go home, maybe I'll put on some Netflix. What was that show?
The Watcher.
The Watcher.
Maybe I'll go home and watch
The Watcher.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't forget, next week we are out and about as well for another Miller Lite Top Draft show. Make sure you guys hanging out with us. We're at Irish Oak in Countryside, 55th and Halsted. Make sure you guys hang out with us there. Meantime, let's go ahead and thank our guests, Ricky O'Donnell, Herb Howard, of course, Chris Emma, stopping by Broken Barrel to hang out with us. Want to thank our promo team for holding it down. I know it's been a while. We got some new faces out here. Want to thank Rich Wyatt, our engineer, for making it sound better than we actually do. Big thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh for holding us down as well. We look forward to working with you again. And guys, coming up next, BetMGM is going to be holding you guys down. So for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on 670 The Score, I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Mark Grody. Don't forget, it's Miller time. I've been wanting to say that. It's Miller time. I was practicing that, but I didn't get a chance to.
Shout it out, man.
Because I feel like I hear Chuck Swirsky in my head going, it's Miller time.
No, it's the G&G. What a good G&G.
All right, guys. Man. Mi gente, hasta la próxima. We'll see you next time. It's 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to The Score's Miller Lite Top Draft Show, live from the Broken Barrel at 2548 North Southport in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.